What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Rob, it is time to talk about your favorite topic. It is Chiefs running backs. This is why I would like to talk to you about the run game, because you have far more worry about Carson Steele stepping up and being the number one running back for this team for who knows how long it will be. You have more worry about that than I do heading into Sunday Night Football. Now, I'm not here telling you that I think that Carson Steele is going to turn into some Pro Bowl caliber player or not. That's not what I'm saying, but I think he is going to be pretty productive, and I think the Chiefs are going to be able to do what they need to do offensively despite not having Isaiah Pacheco. So Andy Reid took over as the head coach in 2013. I would argue that he has only missed one time when they have needed to get it right at the run game. The Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing did not work for this team. Did you know that there's only been one season in which Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the leading rusher for the Kansas City Chiefs? The other years, you want to know who it was? Damian Williams for this team. So I've seen them with, whether it was Damian Williams, whether it was with Charkandrick West, whether it was Spencer Ware, you tell me over the course of the last 15 years or so, when the Chiefs have needed to figure out run game production, they've been able to figure it out. So again, I'm not telling you that I think that Isaiah Pacheco being out doesn't matter to this team. I'm not telling you that I think that Carson Steele is going to be a one-to-one and that he is going to be able to give you the exact same production. But if we can see Andy Reid turn Spencer Ware into a guy that can be a productive running back in his career, and Charkandrick West was the leading rusher on a team that went 11-5. Spencer Ware was the leading rusher on a team that went 12-4. I think they will be able to manage for the next couple of weeks or possibly longer without Isaiah Pacheco. I think they'll be able to do that with Steele, Piron, and eventually we'll see whenever they get Kareem Hunt.
I guess the reason I am skeptical might be the right term. Maybe that's the wrong term, but it just feels like what propelled the Chiefs last season, as much as I hate to admit it, and you were 100% right on this, is the idea that they were going to give the ball to their playmakers, and they were one of those playmakers was Isaiah Pacheco. And this offseason, they did nothing to create depth, the position that Isaiah Pacheco plays. And now, without Hollywood Brown and without Isaiah Pacheco, your playmakers, your, hey, we have dudes type energy on the field is just less. If you're the Falcons, if you're the Chargers, if you're any of the teams coming down the pike on the schedule, are you thinking to yourself, we got to stop Rice, Kelce, and? Because that's what made them great in the postseason last year. It was Rice, Kelce, and Pacheco. We got to stop all three. We got to really, you know, what is it, Gunther used to say, cut the head off the snake or whatever and make them one-dimensional. We heard Roquan Smith say it before the opener, make them one-dimensional, and they're not as good. If you don't have the running back, there's a cumulative effect, Carrington, because now there is fear that they don't have a playmaker there, and the responsibility falls now on Travis Kelce, who has been sluggish to start. It falls more on Rashee Rice. Xavier Worthy, who really was great in game one and in game two, needs to be putting more consistent play together. I don't think the problem is strictly just Carson Steele is worse than Isaiah Pacheco, although I think he is. I think there's a cumulative effect if you can't get some level of production out of Steele, because then the pressure to disperse the rest of the playmaking becomes bigger.
I hear what you're saying. I guess my point is, I don't know what about Andy Reid's background would lead me to believe that they cannot get production out of their room. Look at Spencer Ware. Spencer Ware had one decent season in the NFL in 2016. He had 214 carries, 921 yards rushing. That was good for 4.3 yards per carry. Wasn't dynamic, caught the ball a little bit out of the backfield, ran the football effectively, scored 5 touchdowns. The Chiefs eventually moved on from the position and got someone better than him, Damian Williams. Damian Williams came into Kansas City. His career high in rushing yards was 181 yards. People think that he could have been the Super Bowl MVP for the Kansas City Chiefs. In 2019, 111 carries, 498 yards, averaged 4.5 yards per carry, also caught the ball out of the backfield a little bit. Charkandrick West, almost the exact same scenario in 2015, 160 carries, 634 yards, averaged 4 yards a carry. I think that's all you're asking Carson Steele to be here. Can he be a guy that gets you somewhere between 4 yards a carry and 4.5 yards a carry, and can he hold on to the football? I don't even think you really need Carson Steele to be a dynamic pass catcher out of the backfield. That's what you think Samaje Perine can be. That's what you think that Kareem Hunt can be. You don't even need Carson Steele to be your go-to short yardage back. That's what you got Kareem Hunt for. You think he's going to be the short yardage, third and one, help you move the sticks kind of guy. All you're asking is, with this offensive line that they have spent a lot of resources on, and with this offense and this quarterback, can you figure out a way to get between 50 to 65 yards every single game from Carson Steele? I think that's possible for the next 2 months.
I think it's possible because of Andy Reid and everything you're saying, but I worry that it's not going to happen because the other players you mentioned, Spencer Ware, had played NFL football on another roster. He was with the Seahawks. Damian Williams had been a level of productive with the Miami Dolphins before coming to Kansas City. Like, there was a little bit more pedigree on their resumes. Carson Steele, I know he went to UCLA, but he's an undrafted rookie in game 3 of his career who played the majority of his career at, was it Ball State or was it Miami, Ohio?
Last year he played at UCLA. Honestly, I'm really surprised that you have this stance because Carson Steele is what you want every team in the NFL to do. You don't want any team to spend resources on running back. You want them to go get the undrafted diamond in the rough guy. The Chiefs have the diamond in the rough guy, and now you're telling me, no, that guy's not good enough. But then if they spent money on running back, you'd be saying, go get the diamond in the rough guy. The Chiefs can't win with you at this position. They just can't win.
Yeah, they should play 5 wide every position, every play. I don't know why they're not playing Texas Tech football. I just think it's different this year because of Hollywood Brown's injury. I'm with you 98% of the time on the Chiefs season. But suddenly you look at the Chiefs wide receiver room, and outside of Xavier Worthy, it's the exact same as last year. Like, it's unproven and middle-tier guys. That is, and a really good player in Rashee Rice. But the wide receiver room looks very 2023-ish. It has a very last season vibe. And what did we talk about last year at the wide receiver room? They're not good enough. They're not good enough. They're not good enough. They're not good enough. And then the Chiefs decide on New Year's Day, or New Year's Eve, excuse me, we're going to use Pacheco, Rice, Kelce, end of people that we care about getting the ball to. I think that is going to be their path to success this season while Hollywood Brown is down. And now your path to success, your three-headed monster, is down to 2. That's my concern, is that the cumulative effect and where it gets picked up by everyone else, that opportunity cost is much different. I'm with you on the concept of running back. I just worry the Chiefs' weaponry is starting to take hit after hit after hit and being like, hey, Carson Steele can figure it out and Justin Watson can figure it out. And look, Jarrett Wiley got a catch. Sounds like different names, but a lot like last season. What's this, the quote from The Wire? They just switched the caps from red to blue. That's what it feels like. We're changing the names, but it's a lot of unproven, unknown commodities. We're not talking about Richie James anymore. We're talking about insert other unproven, let's see if they can get the best out of him type of player.
I want to play this audio for you guys really quickly before we're joined by possible new friend of the show. Josh Verner was on Cody and Gold earlier today. He wants you guys to calm down and relax just a bit.
Time and starting pitching. 10 games remain. 60% of those games will be started by Waka, Lugo, and Cole Reagan. So, you know, to me, and listen, you're likely going to face Blake Snell. Like you mentioned, you have Tarek Skubal coming up tonight. Max Fried, maybe a Chris Sale on the horizon in those final three games. So, you know, some difficult tasks still lie ahead. But even if you drop those four games, like you're saying, a lot would have to go wrong, right? But, man, you start diving into the schedules of the remaining or the teams that you're elbowing with for these final few spots in the American League postseason, right? Baltimore and Detroit are about to go at it. Baltimore and Minnesota go at it. New York and Baltimore go at it. So, to me, it's going to take, a 2-8, 1-9 finish from here on out. And when you have Lugo, Reagans, and Walker, I don't see that happen.
I want to give you guys the math if you missed it earlier. Today is the most important game that the Royals will have this regular season. If the Royals win today, they are up 4 games with 9 games to go. If they lose today, they are up 2 with 9 to go. And the Tigers play the White Sox the final 3 games of the season. So you will not see a bigger swing, I think, for the Royals with the result of one individual game quite like today. And you go up against arguably the best pitcher in the American League. Coming up on the other side, Rob, we are going to decide and determine if this person is now friend of the show. I'll tell you who it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are very happy to welcome a new guest to the show. Welcome a new guest to the station. He is the editor of ChiefsOnSI.com. He is our new Chiefs contributor. Joshua Briscoe joins us on the show today. Josh, how you doing, man?
Carrington, I am fantastic, my friend. I am a little bit bittersweet, though, after hearing that Hollywood rejoin. I've been thinking about him a lot the last couple of days. That's the only drawback to otherwise a very good day. Very excited to get to talk to you.
So, Josh, we need you to come in and break the tie. I am excited about Carson Steele with some tempered expectations. We went through some of the number one backs that the Chiefs have had over the course of the last 12 years. Spencer Ware led this team in rushing yards. Mm-hmm. Damian Williams led this team in rushing yards. Charcandrick West led this team in rushing yards. I'm not asking Carson Steele to run for 1,000 yards this season. Let's say that he has to play for 12 games. Can he run for 700 yards this year? And then can you piece it together with a Kareem Hunt? Can you piece it together with Samaje Perine? Can you scheme up some things for Xavier Worthy? Obviously, this is going to be a downgrade not having Isaiah Pacheco, but if there is a team and a coach that I think can scheme up some rushing yards and still maintain that balance, I think it's Andy Reid.
Yeah, no, I absolutely think that that's the right place to start. The issue is that it makes things a little bit harder. And that's also what's happening when you lose Hollywood, right? Like, I think if we would have seen 4 or 5 weeks of Hollywood Brown in this offense and then he would have been lost for the year, I think there would have been weeping and gnashing of teeth because you would have seen what it looked like with everybody at full strength. With Pacheco, I do think this team and really a lot of functional NFL teams are built to withstand a ding to their number one running back. It's kind of the nature of the modern NFL. We've seen it change a little bit. Obviously, the passing game around the league has been pretty down these first 2 weeks. They can definitely weather that storm, but I do wonder how many different places in this offense have a degree of difficulty increase and then still have the offense look, I don't know, not painful as it did for so much of the game against the Bengals. A lot of that was because of a rookie left tackle and a great pass rusher. That, to me, it's not even really just about the running game or just about Pacheco. It's about how this thing could snowball and who's able to stop it in this offense right now.
Josh, which one do you think is a bigger loss for the offense, not having Hollywood Brown or not having Isaiah Pacheco?
Yeah, I think it's Hollywood. I think Hollywood is a bigger loss than Pacheco at this point because it damages so much of what I think the preseason process was going to be about, right? Where Hollywood makes everything easier on behalf of stepping in for Justin Watson. Right now, this offense, even without Pacheco, I guess even more so, this offense is swapping out rookie Xavier Worthy for Marquez Valdez-Scantling last year. I mean, you get an extra year of Rashee Rice. He's obviously in year two, and you're seeing him get a little more comfortable. He's taking steps. But the receiver room looks thin now after the guy who I really thought was going to be this team's number one wide receiver. No disrespect to Rashee Rice, but the way he was going to get used, I had huge expectations for Hollywood. That's a bigger loss to me.
Right now, we're talking to Joshua Briscoe. He is the editor of SI Chiefs. He is our new Chiefs contributor here on 96.5 The Fan. What has been your biggest takeaway from the Chiefs after watching the first two home games?
This is a little bit prisoner of the moment, I guess, but we knew it going into week two, and we knew it coming into the season. Can this offense withstand the learning curve for Kingsley right now? I think that's the biggest question. Making it the takeaway in week two was they really couldn't. I mean, by the end, you end up pulling him for Wanya Morris, and that ends up being fine, although Wanya had a penalty that almost set him back again. Anyway, it did set him back, almost cost him a chance to have that game-winning field goal. It's hard for me to get past at this point. Again, I know I'm repeating myself from the very, very top, but the places where this offense is looking like it's still struggling to find its footing, it's very early. I do not think 2 weeks of this is going to mean 18 weeks of this and going into the playoffs. I think we'll see some growth, but it's hard for me to overlook that because I thought that was going to be – we've seen this team overcome difficult offensive weeks and months and so much of last season, and they still go on to win the Super Bowl. Of course, that's still on the table. Of course, I think they should still be the favorite, but I thought we were going to see a few things get smoothed out a little bit, and in large part by the loss of Hollywood and by the experiment at left tackle, which I'm still leaning towards Kingsley being the guy on Sunday night, for whatever that's worth. Right now, there have been those bumps that have kept things from looking smooth on the offensive side. Defensive side also has all sorts of pros and cons, but that's my first one for sure.
I think there's one part with the offense that you didn't bring up, and I'm not sure Chiefs fans are ready to have that conversation. Isn't this offense kind of predicated on Travis Kelce being Travis Kelce? And if he just had the worst two-game stretch that he's had at any point in his career, I mean, having the best tight end in the National Football League should smooth over a lot of those issues, but he has been a non-factor in their two wins.
Yeah, our dear friend Nate Taylor said yesterday, doing Only Weird Games, he said he doesn't think Travis Kelce's run a real route yet this season. I think he may be, you know, Nate, he may be exaggerating just a smidge for dramatic effect. That's a pretty Nate thing to do. But ultimately, there's a little bit to that, and the reason that I'm not panicking about Travis Kelce, you're certainly right to bring him up in the box score we've seen, even as we saw players get called back for these first 2 weeks that would have bolstered that box score a little bit. He has played so many snaps. I'm choosing to see that as a relative positive at this point because it's not a physical limitation. It's not, you know, keeping him off the field right now. It's like 91% of the snaps, I think, against the Bengals. The fact is he continues to be the focal point in this offense, even as Rashee Rice showed his ceiling, I think, in week one. You see him actually stretch the field down the sideline in week two. I wonder if teams will begin to shift that focus. It's another consequence of not having Hollywood out there, though, where you can still key in on Kelce. I do think there's something to that, though. The fact that he's not living open and finding all these easy spots in the zone, that's part of it. The other thing is so much of the Mahomes-Kelce connection is one Mississippi, two Mississippi, where's Travis Kelce? And there was no two Mississippi against Cincy, at least in the second half, because it was one Mississippi, here's Trey Hendrickson. And I do think that also has something to do with that disconnect.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Briscoe. He's joining us on the show. He is our new Chiefs insider. Happy to have him with us for this football season. Josh, which team do you think is maybe more likely to turn things around the second half of the season? Do you think it's the Ravens or the Bengals?
Well, that's a good question. The Ravens have such a familiar set of issues, and it feels like they're not going to be able to really prove anything until January. I think we saw such a diminished version of the Cincy offense in particular with no T. Higgins and this version of Jamar Chase. I don't know that this version of Jamar Chase is going to change until he gets paid. Like that's going to change in season. I think I'll lean towards Cincy being the slightly steeper climb because – weirdly, I have a little bit less excitement about where their quarterback is, but he has better surroundings right now. I think the Ravens are going to be a good regular season team again and probably pull off a very similar act to what we've seen in the playoffs before, where some of the magic Lamar can make doesn't seem to translate to January. I know that's kind of a cliche, but when it's on tape three or four postseasons, I think you start to see the trend as more of their identity than just a whole bunch of accidents. I don't think Derrick Henry is solving any of their problems, but I think right now I'd lean Baltimore is still a slightly better football team all around, but I'm frankly not super worried about either of those teams, despite the fact that both of them made things stressful against Kansas City.
We mentioned it a little bit earlier when talking about the run game and Carson Steele. We didn't talk specifically about Kareem Hunt. That's my fault there. What is your expectation for Kareem Hunt as he is now back into this offense? Because yesterday we had on a couple of different guys from Cleveland, and the way that they describe what his role should be on this team leaves me to be optimistic. If he is going to be your short yardage guy and your third down back, I think that's a role that he can still be suited for. I don't think that he's going to be a guy that you're going to give 8 to 12 carries to. He's not that kind of back anymore. But if you're telling me that Carson Steele's the guy that gets those 8 to 12 touches, a guy like Kareem Hunt gets 4 or 5 touches, and you throw it a little bit out of the backfield to Samaje Perine, you can make that work.
Yeah, I think committee is going to be the name of the game regardless while Pacheco was out, which is crazy considering how the Chiefs handled their running back room throughout the preseason and offseason. It was Pacheco, and then we'll figure it out. Of course, Clyde was in the mix for some of that. Maybe he will be later on in the year. We'll see there. But I think tempered expectations, but some expectations are reasonable for Hunt, kind of in that mindset, where there are some things that he should be able to do. And Andy Reid mentioned today that Hunt had sports hernia surgery before last season. He thought maybe that impacted his play. I didn't know that. I don't know if that was public knowledge. I don't think it was. Again, at least didn't ever make it to me here in Kansas City, because I didn't think for a second that we'd be talking about a Kareem Hunt reunion at any point in the future. But here we are. I do think there's a chance that he has enough juice in the tank to be useful. I would be very surprised if he has a 15 carry day in 3 or 4 weeks from now. But I do think that if you can have the youth and with the positives and negatives that come with that for Carson Steele, where you have the fresh legs, but you also have a guy that's still pretty fresh in this offense. The crazy thing, Carrington, is that Carson Steele is the veteran in this offense right now, as opposed to Samaje Perine, who got here 45 minutes ago, and Kareem Hunt, who literally was official like 3 hours ago. So it is a weird, disjointed group that I think has potential to be totally competent, but with as many little disjointed things and the pass protection and worrying about the left tackle, I am at least a little bit concerned about there being stability from those three. I think that needs to be the goal right now.
I'll get you out of here with this last question. You are going to get the absolute best version of either one of these backs. Who is the better running back? Is it Larry Johnson or Kareem Hunt?
Ooh, if you're putting him in Andy Reid's office, you're giving him to me now. I think it's probably Kareem Hunt. I thought you were going to give me a Jamaal Charles tee up. I saw the video you guys put out yesterday, I think, about like add any running back to this group. And I just wanted to talk about Jamaal Charles. But I think I'll take Kareem Hunt over Larry Johnson, given the opportunity.
That is our guy, Joshua Briscoe, joining us on the show. You will hear him every Wednesday on our show. He's the editor of Sports Illustrated, the Chiefs division. He is going to be our Chiefs contributor this season. Josh, man, we appreciate you, man. Happy to have you on the team.
Hey, I'm excited to talk to you next week. Hopefully it's a little less stressful, but I wouldn't bet on it.
That is our guy, Joshua Briscoe, joining us on the show today. Which one are you taking, Rob? I'm going to give you the absolute height of their powers, the best version of Kareem Hunt, the best version of Larry Johnson. Who is a better Chiefs running back?
So is it – I'll answer the way Josh did. Am I picking him up and putting him in the Andy Reid offense, or just who was the absolutely better player? Because – Larry Johnson was a more productive player than Kareem Hunt in Kansas City. He just was. He was a bad person and is very unpopular for his time in Kansas City and post-Kansas City, but Larry Johnson was more productive in his time. But if you're saying, hey, Rob, which guy fits at their prime what Andy Reid wants to do better, I take Kareem Hunt, but Larry Johnson was the better running back in Kansas City than Kareem Hunt was.
This is where I would push back a little bit. What is the argument that Kareem Hunt would be a better fit in the offense? Because Larry Johnson, in those 2 years that he was a dog in Kansas City's offense, in 2005, he had 33 catches for 343 yards. And in 2006, I mean, he was maybe the best running back in the NFL for that season. He had 41 catches for 410 yards. So he had 2,000 yards from scrimmage. He was a guy that was going to get you 4.5, maybe 5 yards a carry. He also could catch the ball out of the backfield and make big plays. What is the argument that Kareem Hunt was the better do-everything back for the Chiefs? Because I'm looking at the numbers with Larry Johnson. That ain't what his football card is telling me.
I think part of the allure of Kareem Hunt is he was doing that as a rookie. Like, it was a rookie, and his first 2 years in the NFL, he was putting up very, very good numbers, and we know why he got robbed of his prime in Kansas City, but he, what, led the NFL in rushing his rookie year, or led all rookies in rushing his rookie year? He was on pace for another 1,000-plus and another good receiving year his second season in the NFL. He was doing, you know, big-time things at 21, 22, 23, and then it ended for all the reasons we know. That's one of the reasons why I think you would take Kareem Hunt is you were getting the best version of Kareem Hunt is a younger version of Kareem Hunt. But I agree with you on the whole. Larry Johnson was a more productive running back in Kansas City than Kareem Hunt. Just even if we, you know, account for usage difference, which is monumental, Larry Johnson was more productive than Kareem Hunt.
I want to answer this text really quickly. It's in relation to what we are talking about. 913-586-7965. CDOT, I think whichever back performs should get the carries and the Chiefs should let performance be the guide. I mean, that sounds really good in theory, but I do think we have to be realistic about kind of where guys are. You know the last time that Samaje Perine got double-digit carries in a game? It has happened. The last time that it happened was December of 2022. Was the last time that it happened. It has happened 5 times over the last 4 seasons. Samaje Perine is not going to be their number one running back on the team. That's not what his role is on this offense. So I get it. Hey, you got 3 guys. Let them battle it out. Let them get equal amount of carries, and then we'll pick which one we ride down the stretch. That is not how the Chiefs are about to operate. Their number one running back right now is Carson Steele. Now, the other 2 guys, change of pace backs. You don't go from being unemployed on Monday to now you're coming in and they're giving you 14 carries in the next game. That is not what I think they're bringing in Kareem Hunt for. I think the Isaiah Pacheco injury could maybe last a little bit longer than they think. So we need to figure this thing out of what is our plan going to be over the course of the next 3 months. If I'm the Chiefs, I am planning that we are not having Isaiah Pacheco back until December. I think that is a realistic sort of timetable for what it's going to be. He just had surgery today. So let's say you put it at 2 months. all right, he comes back around Thanksgiving. I think that's a best case scenario for where he is. He's got to get back up conditioning wise. He's got to get back into the flow of playing football. I don't think that Isaiah Pacheco is coming back prior to at least the first week in December. So the current state of the run game, this is going to be it. Carson Steele and how exciting he was over the preseason, you are going to be given every opportunity over the course of the next 2 months to go out there and get carries. They are not giving Samaje Perine a bulk of the carries. I don't think they're giving Kareem Hunt a bulk of the carries. The biggest thing that we heard yesterday when we took a trip to Cleveland was he is a guy who doesn't have explosiveness anymore. I made the analogy yesterday. He is a relief pitcher who doesn't have the same velocity. He was a guy that you remember could throw 99. That's not what he is anymore. He's a guy that's going to throw 91, 92, and he's got to be crafty and figure out a way to get guys out. So I'm not coming in here expecting Kareem Hunt to kind of shoulder the load. Also not expecting it for Samaje Perine too. You know who's getting a majority of the carries? The 22-year-old is getting a majority of the carries, not the two guys that are almost 30.
I was about to say, Kareem Hunt and Samaje Perine, there's reason to believe they both could be a level of washed, and their age is the first reason why. They're both 29, and 29 at running back is the equivalent of being 550 years old. Like, I know Patrick Mahomes just turned 29, but quarterbacks age like fine wine. Running backs age like hot, stale beer. They get worse over time.
I've been watching the NFL. I don't see a whole lot of quarterbacks aging like fine wine. And I'm not seeing that with the product that I'm watching every Sunday. There ain't a whole lot of fine wine in this league right now.
There's far more fine wine at quarterback than running back. You tell me the 33-year-old running back, you're like, oh, well, he's still cooking. I mean, we've seen success from older quarterbacks in the recent NFL. Like, even pre-Achilles injury, Aaron Rodgers was the MVP of the league. He would have been 38. Tom Brady was still productive in Tampa Bay at 41. And yeah, those are extreme cases, but Geno Smith is still palatable. He's what, 34 plus, 33 plus? I mean, you at that age are more likely to still be viable, where at running back, when you're 27, you get cast off and you're on the land of misfit toys. And two of those misfit toys are running backs 2 and 3, respectively, here in Kansas City.
I want to give you guys a stat really quickly before we take a break. And we had this conversation with Mitch Holtis a couple of days ago when he joined us on the show. Matt McMullen, who works for the Chiefs, he tweeted this stat out earlier today. Trent McDuffie currently leads all cornerbacks in the NFL who have played at least 75 snaps. So he has the most coverage snaps in the league. He's played 100 coverage snaps over the first two games. On passes directed towards Trent McDuffie, he has been thrown at 7 times. He has allowed 3 catches for 26 yards. The Chiefs have one of the best 3 young corners in the National Football League. Sauce Gardner is incredible. Patrick Surtain is also incredible. The Chiefs have one of those kind of players currently on their team in Trent McDuffie. We don't need to have this conversation in full because it's week 3 and it's a long time to have this conversation. But if Trent McDuffie has the kind of season that he is having and he does this for another 15, 16 weeks and this team goes on to have great success in the postseason the way many of us expect them to, you are not waiting until year 5 to pay Trent McDuffie. You are paying Trent McDuffie at the end of this season. If I just saw that Patrick Surtain got paid and Sauce Gardner is about to get paid and I'm on that same level of them, I mean, this is lockdown. This ain't just cornerback number 1. This is, you might be the best corner in the entire National Football League. 7 targets. They don't even throw it in your direction. 3 catches for 26 yards, and you just put a head on your wall of Ja'Marr Chase. You got in his head and dominated him in this game. We got to start talking about Trent McDuffie like he is an elite football player, because that is what he has been so far. I saw someone say earlier, I don't have any questions about the offense. My questions are on the defense. I don't know how we keep having questions about the defense. The Chiefs defense has been one of the 5 best in the NFL for like the last 2 seasons. I don't have many questions about their defense. And a big reason is they got one of the best defensive linemen in the league. They also got one of the best corners in the league, and they have, after Bill Belichick, the best defensive coordinator in the history of the National Football League. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I don't want to come back to this segment with any music because I want to do this a little bit differently. I have not forgotten that back when we were this little known sports talk station called 610 Sports Radio, some of you guys said some very mean and hurtful things about something that I care very deeply about. But Rob, if you can hit me with a little bit of music, I think this is cause for a celebration. Red Lobster has officially come out on the other side of Chapter 11 bankruptcy. You guys tried to finish Red Lobster. You tried to end the endless shrimp. You tried to take the Cheddar Bay biscuits for us, but like the phoenix, still I rise. Listen to this letter. Dear valued guest, today is a great day for the best restaurant that any of us have ever had the opportunity to sit down and dine at. I added that part. We are happy to announce that Red Lobster has successfully exited Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Red Lobster is now stronger, more resilient, and ready for a bright new chapter supported by our loyal guests, dedicated team members, and new U.S.-based ownership who are committed to investing in Red Lobster's future. That new chapter begins now. You'll start to see the positive impact across each of our 545 restaurants in the U.S. and Canada. You know what I want you to do today? I want you to call your wife right now and say, babe, I want to take you somewhere special. I want you to put on that sexy dress you haven't put on in a while. I want you to put on that dress that you would only wear when it's a special occasion. And I'm going to take you somewhere that has some of the best crab legs, finest steaks that you've ever had. She's going to start getting excited. Ooh, where are we going? I can't tell you, honey. And I want you to be a gentleman. I want you to get out of your car. I want you to open the car door for her. I want you to give her control of the radio. Turn me off. And I want you to drive up to Red Lobster. And I'm telling you, when she get a taste of them Cheddar Bay biscuits, Red Lobster back, baby. Red Lobster started 0-2. It's still going to make the postseason. That's what it is. Y'all tried to kick them out of here, but we're back, baby.
I mean, this is a really good day for seafood Applebee's.
Rob. Stop. That's how you want to contribute to the segment?
Little Mermaid Chili's survives another day. Fried Up Finding Nemo doesn't lose to bankruptcy. That should be the headline.
Someone on the text line says, thanks, Carrington. My wife just threatened to divorce me. No, she didn't. In fact, she about to rock your world in a way that hasn't happened since pre-COVID. That's what I want you to do, man. I'm serious. That's what I want you to do. I want you to... God, you get that salad when it comes out there, too.
We're going to rave about the salad. You know where you can get the salad? In a bag at Hy-Vee.
No, don't do this. It's freshly chopped.
No, it is not.
It's freshly chopped.
100% not.
They might be growing it in the back. Oh, they might be growing the lettuce in the back. And they just go in there, chop it up for you. They come around and the biscuits be hot and fresh. You get one of them lemonades. Oh, my goodness. A little lobster fest. Who doesn't love a lobster fest? Who doesn't love an endless shrimp? Oh, my goodness. I'm just reading the text line right now, bro. Don't get blocked, man. Don't get blocked. I got different rules on 96.5 The Fan. We were a lot more lax over on 610 Sports Radio. Dippin' Dot slander is not coming over to the FM side. Neither is disrespect to Red Lobster. I got your phone number here. I will do a reverse phone lookup, and we will get into a fist fight in the middle of the street if this Red Lobster disrespect continues under my watch.
Can you imagine driving past actual seafood restaurants and be like, I'm going to Red Lobster? Just sad.
There's other seafood restaurants?
Yes.
I've never eaten
millions,
any of them before.
Probably.
I've never eaten at them.
It's sit down Long John Silver's, and you choose that.
Golly. When you walk in there and you see those, you see those lobsters that just got, they just got caught
earlier today.
They just got caught earlier
Please,
today.
God, boil me. Get me out of this tank.
Yeah, that's what happens,
Help.
Man. That's what happens. I'm so happy. I'm so excited.
I mean,
Thank
the
you.
Eighth best chain restaurant survives. I mean, we're all, woo!
Text line 913-586-7965. Someone says, I just pumped gas and you're still talking about Red Lobster. We plan on talking about Travis Kelce. I might not even do that. We're going to talk Royals. I don't know why we need to. This has become the A-block story. This should lead this should lead the news today. What are you talking about? We're still talking about it. Why aren't you talking about it?
Hit number one today is Red Lobster back.
Hit number one, two, and three. All the hits.
Vern, we're going to six, buddy. We got Red Lobster takes to get off.
Yeah, why are we? Yeah. Royals and Tigers. No one cares about that. They have no interest in that. None at all. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to talk about Travis Kelce. You guys will probably be mad at what I have to say about Travis Kelce, but that's just kind of how the show works. Anyway, we actually have not talked about this yet. We were going to talk about it before I found the Red Lobster news. So thanks, Red Lobster. We were going to actually talk about the Chiefs. Andy Reid. You know what? I am going to be maybe the only person who defends Andy Reid for his decision to kick a 19-yard field goal on Sunday. Now, I know some of you were hot, mad. If there is one thing we know about Andy Reid, he follows an old saying that all of you should have when you go to the casino. You can't go broke taking a profit. We know that Andy is not going to be super aggressive, Mr. Analytic, go for it on fourth down. That is not who he is. And I would say that the Chiefs on that first drive tried everything that you say you want them to do. They gave the ball to Isaiah Pacheco. They also did their cutesy stuff. They tried to score a touchdown. They had six plays from within the five-yard line. None of them got in the end zone. I'm not really convinced that the seventh play would have got them in the end zone. So they kicked a field goal. I'm on Andy's side here. We haven't talked about it yet, Rob. I am on Andy's side on kicking the field goal in the first quarter of the game. Andy's big on taking points. And I'm not convinced in this new analytic world of going for it, I'm not convinced that being on team take the points is the wrong stance to be on. I know what the computer says and what the math says. Well, 87% of the time, well, okay, yeah. If that's how we're playing games in a hypothetical spreadsheet scenario, sure. Andy takes actual concrete, hard, real points every single time. And it seems to work for me. So if I have to be the one who stands on the side of kicking 19-yard field goals in the first quarter, you know what? I'll be on the side of kicking 19-yard field goals. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, let's talk about Travis Kelce. He talked about his slow start, so that gives us the freedom to talk about his slow start. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.